welcome to another episode of the Extraordinary Moms Podcast. I'm Jessica Dahlquist, your host, and every Tuesday I interview a different mom who shares their motherhood journey and the lessons they've learned along the way. If I've learned anything from interviewing such a wide range of moms, it's that no two extraordinary moms look the same. We all have a story to tell, and we are all mothering in our own way. So let's celebrate that and learn from one another. Thanks for listening, and if you like what you hear, please share the show with a friend. Good morning, it's Jessica. How's everybody doing? Thanks for tuning into the podcast today. I am so glad you are here. Today's episode is a really special one. Ever since I had Kelsey Nixon on episode number 43, talking about the loss of her sweet son, Leo, and then I had her back recently for episode 136, where she talked about the redemptive story of having her new baby, Nora, via gestational carrier. You guys have been reaching out to me saying, well, I want to hear from the carrier. I want to know who carried Kelsey's baby, and I want to hear her side of the story. Well, I'm so excited because today Betsy Keller is with us. She was the gestational carrier and sister-in-law of Kelsey Nixon, and we are so excited to chat with her to get her side of the story, what her experience was like carrying somebody else's baby. It's a very unique experience, but such a gift to give to somebody who's not able to grow their family on their own naturally. It's such a special episode, and I hope you enjoy this conversation as much as I did. What an extraordinary mom Betsy is. So let's get to it with Betsy Keller. All right, I want to welcome Betsy Keller to the show. Hi, Betsy.
Hi.
How's it going?
Really well. How are you?
I'm really good. Where am I speaking to you from today?
I am in Nampa, Idaho. It's summer. Kids are hopefully off playing and doing other things and being quiet while we're recording.
So. Well, it's a mom podcast, so I'm sure you'll hear my kids in the background sometimes too. Summer's a tough one. Yeah. Betsy, I cannot tell you how many messages I have gotten since we aired Kelsey's episodes, people wanting to find out more about your story. You are the one who volunteered so courageously and bravely and just kindly to carry her baby to help grow their family. And people want to know more about you, Betsy. So will you just give a little background just on your family so we can get to know you a little bit?
Yeah, sure. So I was the fourth of seven kids in my family, which comes into play since this involves, you know, my little brother and my family. Mm-hmm. So my husband and I met in college. And I was young. I was not planning on getting married, but once I met him, I couldn't help myself. I remember talking to my mom, and she said, it's not when, it's who. And once you meet him, that's when you know. So anyway, it wasn't my plan to get married at 19, but I fell in love and met literally the man of my dreams. Couldn't ask for a better partner for me. So he and I got married after about 3 years. We started our family and had my first daughter in 1998, and then in the next 10 years, had our family of six kids.
And so what is the age range of your kids right now?
So my oldest is now 18. She just graduated from high school, and I just dropped her off for a summer internship a week ago. So I'm super, like, starting this brand new phase of parenting where I have, like, adult children who are out of the house, which is so strange how quickly that has happened in my life. It's kind of killing me, but
sure.
So if I'm a little emotional, that's why I'm still kind of getting over the fact that I have a child who doesn't live at home anymore. So anyway, will start, she's doing a summer internship, and then we'll start school this fall. And so my oldest is 18, my youngest is 8. So I have 18, 17, 13, 12, 10, and 8-year-old.
And you were very done having kids, I assume, a
year
ago. Is that correct?
Yeah, very done.
And so, I mean, I have 7, 5, and 2. And so we're still in that phase of, are we done? Are we going to go back and start again? You know, and it's a hard decision wanting to really start over, going through the whole pregnancy process. I think as you get older, it feels even longer, right? That 9 months, it's like, and keeping up with the other children and things. It just, it's a lot. It's a lot to be pregnant. And then it's a lot to have a newborn. I wanted to ask you about your motherhood journey and how being a mom has impacted you as a person, Betsy. How does your motherhood evolve? Now you have a child that's 18 down to 8. How are you a different mom today than you were 18 years ago?
Oh, such a good question with such a lots of answers.
Yeah.
I think first and foremost, one of the great things about the plan of parenting is starting out and you're allowed to be kind of paranoid about everything and really high stress. And then as you go on, you just kind of relax. And I think it actually makes motherhood more enjoyable. I remember being at the stage where you are, the thought of having teenagers is like terrifying. Like, what will I do? How will I ever know how to, anyway, but it's been just probably my favorite part of parenting is where I am right now. Having teenagers, having kids who are still young, just really enjoying being a mom has been so fun. A lot of the stress of sleepless nights, diaper changes, schedules, feeding children and those kinds of things. All of that was great and fun years. And I've learned a lot. You learn a lot of patience. You learn a lot of unselfishness, all of those things. But then as your children grow, you kind of get to grow into this next really fun phase of seeing them evolve into the people they're going to become and going on that journey with them. And that's just has been so enjoyable for both my husband and I. We really have loved it. Loved this phase of our life.
Yeah. I think you always love babies. You always think they're darling. You always want to hold them. But then there is an appreciation that comes with them reaching each new milestone. And so,
Absolutely, yes, you
can be, you know, you can reminisce fondly on the baby stages and those toddler years and you laugh at the Cheerios on the ground and things like that. But there's something really beautiful when you look at your children growing up with the perspective of that's the point. You want to see them growing and flourishing and being the best version of themselves, making their own choices and buckling themselves in the car.
Exactly. It's the little milestones that really do count. Absolutely.
For sure. Yeah. And so with your youngest, do you find that you're intentionally parenting that child any differently than you did your first or your second or your third at the top?
Oh, I wish I could say yes. You know, I think that, there are definitely things that we've seen with the older that we think, oh, we missed that. You know, I wish I would have remembered to teach them these things. And so, yes, there is definitely a little more of intentional. But at the same time, because they're the youngest, we're so much more relaxed in our parenting style that I can't say if it's a win or a lose.
You know, we'll find out.
Exactly. So I think that there's a mix of intentional, but also we aren't as gung-ho about some things as we were the first time around. Probably because of experience, and we realize maybe we don't need to be pushing that so hard. But he definitely gets away with a lot more than the older kids did, I will say that.
Sure, and I think even just in my 7 years of parenting, what I have seen is that with that first one, you're so hyper-concerned about this whole list of things that you think will totally make or break your child, right? So every little thing you overanalyze and over-research and over-implement. And then by the third, it's not necessarily even just a laziness, but it's kind of a lowered expectation that focusing on the right things versus focusing on everything.
Everything.
That's what makes the difference. So even though your 8-year-old may get away with more things, are they going to turn out any worse for wear? Probably not.
You choose kind of what to focus on. You can kind of pick out the essential things more than just the nice things. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I never really thought about that, but that does apply to me, and I'm sure a lot of people are in agreement with that. I totally agree. And so let's dive into this chapter of your life that you probably never anticipated.
Oh, never. We laugh about that all the time. Who would have ever thought?
Who would have ever thought?
Crazy.
And so for people that aren't familiar, so Kelsey was on episode 43 and then 136, and episode 43 was talking about the loss of her sweet second son, Leo. Will you talk about that time for you and your family and kind of what you saw them walking through?
Sure. We knew going in that it was going to be a little bit nerve-wracking. So I'll say Robbie and Kelsey lived in New York City. We live in Idaho. So we're not, so a lot of our communication is, you know, media, all the phone or social media, things like that. So we're not necessarily right there with them through these trials because we're so far apart across the country. But our family is pretty good about staying in contact with their 7 siblings and I. My mom passed away 3 years earlier before Leo was born. And my dad and his new wife were out of the country serving a mission. And so the siblings kind of have to bond and come together when there's kind of literally no parents in the picture. So that kind of paints a different view to start with for that. So we knew going in that it was kind of risky. And I remember talking to Robbie on the phone one night, and it was late. It was really late in New York. And my husband and I were in bed, and I was talking to Robbie on the phone, and he was talking about how we don't really know what's happening. We're starting to think the same things that happened with Ollie, who's their first son, who was born premature. These things are kind of starting to happen again, which was their worst nightmare. It's the thing they really hoped wasn't going to happen again. These things were starting to happen again. And knowing Kelsey and knowing how much anxiety had given her the first time and how hard it was, we all could kind of sense, oh, this is maybe not going to be good. Yeah. Whether he lived or not, we didn't know. But just the experience was so hard the first time for her, knowing maybe she wouldn't be able to carry another baby after this, regardless of the outcome. Mm-hmm. I remember being on the phone with Robbie, and my husband is next to me in bed, and the words literally came out of my mouth, well, if this doesn't work out, I can always carry a baby for you. And my husband turned and looked at me with this look on his face like,
wow,
what did you just say? And I kind of looked back at him and was like, I don't know. I just said that. I don't know. Should I have not said that? And we obviously have never discussed this, and the words literally just came out of my mouth.
Wow.
And so that was kind of a funny thing. I remember Robbie saying, yeah, that's totally weird. I don't think we're going to have you carry a baby.
Yeah,
like it was kind of, whatever, that's weird, and moved on. And, yeah. And so I don't even remember if Clint and I, my husband, had a conversation about that later, you know, about that exact exchange. But I do remember very clearly the look on my husband's face when those words came out of my mouth. Like, what are you talking about?
And so what did you know at that time about being a surrogate or being a gestational carrier, which I've now learned is different things?
Yes. So my first brush ever with even hearing about this was an acquaintance. It was kind of through the rumor mill. An acquaintance that I knew not very well, someone told me that her sister couldn't carry children, and so their mother carried babies for her. And it was just one of those stories that was so fascinating to me that this woman, I think, was in her early 50s.
Wow.
And carried a baby for her daughter. And I just remember thinking, what? That is the craziest and coolest thing I've ever heard. So I'd heard that story, and I knew that. And then a few years later, a friend of ours, who at the time was also an acquaintance, had gone through some health conditions where she'd had two children and then was literally incapable of carrying more children, whose sister offered to carry a baby for her and ended up having twins.
Wow.
And these little boy twins are some of my youngest son's really good friends. And so it's a family I knew that was very normal, that had this amazing experience. And so having someone you know who has gone through this makes it so it doesn't seem so weird. I never had sat down and talked to her about her experience, but I just knew that their family had done that. And here are these beautiful twin boys that are now in kindergarten with my son, and that it had been a positive experience. So just knowing someone kind of puts that idea in your head, so that when I said it to Robbie on the phone that night, it wasn't like I was saying, let's fly to the moon. You know, it was something right. That I had seen done before and knew that it was a possibility. But Leo was born. Scary delivery, scary that he's in the NICU and he's so tiny. And here are Robbie and Kelsey in New York City. My mom has passed away. My dad's out of the country. Her parents came and helped for a little bit, but needed to kind of return to their jobs and world. And so my older sister kind of stepped in and flew out there and kind of helped with Ollie so they could spend time at the NICU. And when she came home, she called and said, you know, I think they need more help. Someone needs to go out there and help them. And I really didn't want to. Selfishly, I think I kind of had a phobia of flying to New York City by myself and trying to navigate New York City. I live in Idaho. I live in a small town. That's kind of overwhelming to me. And I'm like, ugh, I don't really want to do that. But I called Robbie and said, hey, if you need me to, you know, how can I help you? Should I come? And he said, Betts, I would love for you to come. That would be so helpful.
Aww.
And I thought, oh, dear, now I kind of have to go because I offered, you know. So that was on a Saturday night when I called him. And the next day I was really just trying to be really thoughtful about it. It was spring break for my family. We miraculously did not have any plans for spring break. We were supposed to have plans that fell through. And so here I had a week open. My oldest daughter was in high school, so I could kind of leave. My husband could go to work, and I could leave the kids with her. Like, it just kind of started playing out just right.
Mm-hmm.
I attended church that day, and while I was at church, the speaker's whole talk was about going to the rescue. Mm-hmm. And the family that sat in front of us had all their extended family there, and they were having their arms around each other. And I just couldn't stop crying. I just kept thinking, I have to go. Here's this family in front of me that I don't know why it made such a deep impression, that there's uncles, aunts, and cousins all sitting together and thinking, I need to go. I need to go be with my brother. I need to go be with my sister-in-law and nephew. And the speaker's talking about going to the rescue, and I was a mess. And I came home, booked my plane ticket, and was on the flight the next day and flew to New York City and did not have any sort of anxiety. It was just a real blessing. Everything fell into place and had a really amazing experience. The day I landed in the city, it was my brother's 30th birthday. And so for his birthday, he and I went up to the NICU and spent, you know, several hours just sitting and looking at that tiny, sweet baby. Leo was as tiny as you could even imagine a living human being. It was just absolutely incredible. Robbie had sent us pictures. You know, you see pictures of babies in the NICU with their parents' hand next to them or something. But in real life, it was absolutely breathtaking to see the beauty of this tiny, perfectly formed little boy. Mm. And getting to be there and see him. And, you know, we can't hold him. He's so tiny. And Robbie got to change his diaper. And there's like little glove things you put your hands in into the incubator and change his diaper, but really there's no, I mean, the diapers are the size of a quarter. I mean, there's just,
gosh,
it's just crazy how tiny, tiny. Anyway, so getting to go and be there and meet Leo and being with Robbie and Kelsey and coming back to their apartment late at night and talking and, you know, just having that experience of being in that moment with them was, it made a huge impact. Mm. And getting that one-on-one time with Ollie. Kelsey would go during the day to the NICU while Robbie went to work, and I would be with Ollie. And then at night, Kelsey would come home and sleep, and Robbie and I would go to the NICU and be with Leo. And it was just really special, special time for me with my brother, for me with Kelsey, for me with Leo. It was just really amazing. Mm. I had to fly home on Friday night, and when I left, Leo was doing great. Everything was looking really good. And by the time it came to Saturday, everything kind of started to tank, and he ended up passing away on Sunday. So I was there just right at the very end. Wow. When things were looking good. And so the timing is just really incredible to me, and I'm so grateful that I got to be there when he seemed to be doing well and when things were looking positive. So that just being there was such a huge blessing, and I think played a big role into my role later on. I'm not saying I wouldn't have done it had I not met Leo, but that little boy made a very big impression on me and made me really want to do something more for that family.
Oh, wow. And so when was the next time you were brave and bold enough to bring it up?
So actually we, for the funeral, when we were there for the funeral, Leo was buried just tucked in at the feet of my mom, who was buried in Salt Lake. And that was a very special, special day for us. Heartbreaking, so heartbreaking to see a tiny, tiny little coffin, casket, I guess is a better word, casket. And just heart-wrenching. And anyway, we had a get-together afterward. They just did a very simple family-only graveside service. And afterward, we all were at my dad and his wife flew in from, they were serving a mission in Africa and flew back to be here for this. Mm-hmm. And we were at their house and we were just sitting on the couch. Kelsey was absolutely miserable. She ended up having mastitis during the funeral.
So unfair. And,
it's so unfair, like the most unfair thing. And I remember her dad standing and saying, it's so hard to see your daughter be so broken. And that's just the best way I could think to describe her, and seeing her was so broken and so sad. Not only did she not feel good physically, but emotionally she was so broken, and you just made your heart just bleed for her. It was so heartbreaking, and, you know, to see a mother have to bury her child. Anyway, we're there and we're sitting on the couch, and I remember saying, Kelsey, I'm serious about this carrier thing. I don't know what you're going to, you know, they're just one step at a time. They're just burying their child. She hasn't been to doctors and hasn't learned what the future her able to carry or not carry babies are. But I said, I'm serious. You know, take me up on this. I need to fast and pray about it. We need to think about this. But this is something I would love to consider. And I think I felt so deeply for her that I wanted to give her an inkling of hope somehow, somewhere. There's hope on the future. Even, you know, there's ways to make this family come together. So anyway, we talked about it there, there at the funeral. And then I think as time went on, then they went back to New York. We went back to Idaho. And then phone calls kind of started happening to be like, hey, how serious are you about this? And when they met with their doctor afterward, and the doctor on her own accord brought up the idea of gestational surrogacy, they were like, oh, ding, you know, and the doctor said, you're a perfect candidate for this. I think they're going, okay, wait a minute. This is kind of coming at us from different angles now. Maybe we should look into this.
Sure. And it had to be a little bit scary for you to know when to bring it up or things like that. Because the hardest thing after a loss like this is knowing what to say. And so to say,
absolutely,
I will carry your baby,
had
to be a little
and,
bit
you know, looking back,
scary.
It was probably horrendous. That was probably the worst time ever to bring it up.
Know.
And I've actually never even asked Kelsey if she's like, are you kidding me right now? You know, I don't know. But I do remember that we brought it up there, and I think I must have felt like it was a right time.
I wish I knew
looking back, but it must have felt like I need to say something, and here's what I'm going to say. You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
It was probably the worst thing to say, but it ended up being good.
Now, you're probably not going to find that on a Hallmark card. Like, I'm so
exactly.
sorry for your loss, but I will carry a baby for you.
Yes, exactly.
But, I mean, obviously, you were so sincere and so striving to be in tune with the spirit and things like that to know, you know, if you were the right person to do that. And so I
right.
think sometimes it does kind of go against maybe our better logical judgment. But
right.
sometimes you just do those things, right, or say those
yeah.
things. And that can be make the biggest difference. And obviously it has. And so as those conversations ensued and she went to the doctor and she was a candidate and you were a candidate, what happened next?
So it's just a, you know, we both kind of found ourselves swimming in such unfamiliar waters. I mean, I was blessed to have six children with never really ever an issue as far as pregnancies went. I had great pregnancies, which is another reason I offered myself to do it. As I told her, Heavenly Father has blessed me with the gift of caring and delivering babies with ease. Like this is something, a talent I feel like maybe I've been blessed with. That's not even the right word. A talent's not the right word.
Sure, but strength,
just this
yeah.
gift or this ability to do this. And I told her, maybe that's why. Maybe it's so that I can do this for you. You know,
wow.
I don't know why. I don't know why it was easy for me. Not all my pregnancies came quick. Some came way quicker than I had planned, you know, and sometimes it took us a while. But once I did get pregnant, my pregnancies were always very uncomplicated and my deliveries were amazingly uncomplicated. It was just easy for me. And so that's what I told her, this is something I can do. I don't have a lot of amazing talent. She's so talented and, you know, there's lots of other things out there, but this is something that I don't know why I've been blessed with it, but I can do this for you. Let me do this for you.
Wow. Wow. And what a beautiful thing to see it that way. You know, like what a unique skill set that you've been given. And like you wouldn't necessarily view it that way. But what if, yes, you brought your six children into the world and that is really important work. But what if having the courage and the bravery to stand up and say, I will now do that for somebody else because this is something that does come naturally to me. What amazing thing. I love
yeah.
that. And so she goes into more detail about the process and everything, but there's a lot of prep. It's like IVF kind of, and there's a lot of
yes.
preparation that I was
yeah.
not aware of.
She and I basically split an IVF cycle.
Okay.
So for anyone who has done that before, they will be very familiar with what we did, but she had to, you know, bless their hearts because I only did half and Kelsey only did half, and
mm-hmm.
it is such an ordeal. And we learned so much about, infertility and what these women struggle with. It really was very eye-opening, and I'm really grateful for what I experienced because, like I mentioned, I never did have these issues. It was very interesting to be on the other side of the coin and see what a struggle it is and how real this is, and we even got to feel some of that emotion and sorrow and these things that women feel. So it gave us both really an insight, me way much more than her. She'd already suffered enough, really.
Right.
But it gave me a lot of insight into that world. So Kelsey did the egg retrieval, and then I had to be preparing my body to receive the embryo.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a whole slew of medications, shots, and all kinds of things to get my body ready. And we just went in with so much confidence for this first time. They were able to, and she talks a lot about that and goes into a lot of detail on the podcast about getting the eggs and which ones were good and how many they got and all of those things. But by the time they got these little embryos to Idaho, I felt really good about going for twins, like thinking if we're going to do this, we're going to do this. You know, if we're going to get you a family, let's just do it. I was 39 years old. So I knew I was at the older end of, you know, offering to do this, although, you know, I know that story of that lady who's like 50, but anyway, I felt like this is the right time. And that's another thing I should mention is that the timing was so good. We felt like for this very first embryo transfer, which was supposed to happen the very end of August, in 2015. So Leo had passed away the end of March we'd been working May, June, July, and now this is going to happen in the very end of August. The timing I had worked out in my mind was perfect. It was my daughter's junior year of high school, my oldest daughter, and I thought, I don't want to do this her senior year. You know, this is great. My youngest was starting first grade, so he was at school all day. Was going to get pregnant at the beginning of the school year, have a baby in May before the kids got out. Like, I was just going to spend this school year growing a baby, and that would be our family's focus. And the timing was just amazing. And we went in with so much confidence, me having a great track record of pregnancies and carrying babies, and Kelsey getting these good eggs and embryos. They looked great, genetically tested great. And so we chose to put two in the first time and went in literally with all the confidence in the world that this was going to work, and felt really good about it. Had great doctors. Another thing I should say is that it was really a miracle. Okay, going back, you're going to have to edit this. Sorry.
You're good.
Going back, Kelsey called me after we had started talking about gestational carrier, and she called me and she said, Betsy, you're not going to believe this, but I'm doing research, and one of the best clinics in the country happens to be in Boise, Idaho. Mm. And I'm like, are you kidding me? I don't know.
Out of all the places in the world. Yeah.
And she lives in New York City, you know, where you think, oh. So it was amazing that they chose to use Idaho. It's easier to use the clinic where I am, because I'm the one who is going to be going in for those weekly, monthly visits, you know. So it was easier to use a clinic that was located in my town. And they were so great. Kelsey was so great to do that. And they had to, you know, overnight their little embryo babies out to a clinic in Idaho of all the crazy
things. So wild.
I know. And the cute embryologist sends her a email that says, the kids have arrived, you know, so cute. Anyway, so that was just one of those other miracles when we were trying to decide if this is right, not right. There's this miracle of, oh, by the way, there's a really great clinic that has great experience doing these things right in my backyard. You know, that's a miracle. And that Idaho is a very gestational carrier friendly state, that there's the laws in the state of Idaho make it very easy to do these kinds of things. There are other states where it's a lot trickier. New York City, for example, it would have been a lot of red tape trying to make this work. But Idaho is a very surrogate friendly state. So lots of little things going into place like that, that were just miracles along the way.
Sure, absolutely. And so you went in really confident and excited, and everyone's really hopeful because this is on the heels of the sadness of losing Leo.
Yeah.
And so I'm sure there was so much weighing on it. Yeah.
We were ready for a miracle, and we felt very deserving of a miracle at this point.
Sure.
And I would say that everything had gone really smoothly. My body had reacted great to the medications. Like, everything was just going along really well. So we did the Robbie and Kelsey flew out. They were here. We were all in the room together. I remember Robbie saying, I don't know if I want to be in the room while they're doing this procedure. That's so weird. You're my sister. And I'm like, this is your baby. You have to be in the room. Yeah. I will, you know, this will make sure it's a modest thing. You can stand in the corner behind my head, but you need to be in this room. This is your child. You know, this is a really exciting moment. So my husband and Kelsey and Robbie, we were all together in the room at the clinic, and the doctor knocks on this little door that's in the exam room, and in walks the embryologist, I believe that's how you say it, embryologist, came in with the embryos in a kind of like a little, I don't even know the right words, squirt tube, like, I don't know.
Baster?
Yeah. We really should find a better word so we can put that in there. But yeah. He comes in with the embryos, and the doctor uses this camera, and they can go and, you know, make sure that their embryos are put right into the lining of my uterus where they're kind of tucked in nice so they can grow. And he said, everything went so well. It couldn't have gone better. And we just left there feeling like, well, here we are. Now we're ready. Let those babies grow. And just felt so good about it. And they flew home to the city, and after a couple of weeks, I went in for the blood test, and we kind of waited for results, and then I got a phone call, which I'll never forget because it's the worst phone call in my life up to this point, when the nurse called and said, Betsy, I'm so sorry, it didn't work. Ugh. And I said, are you serious? Like, it didn't work? Like, neither one? Like, I was kind of incredulous, like, what? What do you mean it didn't work? Like, what? And I said, did you already call Kelsey? And she said, yes. And I said, how did she take it? And she's like, well, it's hard. And I'm like, oh. And so now I'm dying that it didn't work. Oh. I'm dying. Here I had come to Kelsey and I had offered myself as the solution to her problem. And I went in with all the confidence in the world that I would come in and I would fix this and that my body knows how to do this. And then failure. Mm. They'd spent all this money, all this time. They'd flown out. And it didn't work. I mean, yeah. I was devastated. I just hit the floor and just sobbed. And I hung up with the nurse and called Kelsey. And I mean, that's the worst phone call I've ever made is like, hi, sorry. Oh, like she's yeah. sobbing, I'm sobbing. And I'm just saying, Kelsey, I'm so sorry. I don't know if it's something I did. Should I have laid flat longer? You know, I was on bed rest. Right. They say stay at bed rest for 24 hours afterward, which I did, but I did get up and go to the bathroom and I did, you know, so you start second guessing all these things. Is there something I could have done? I should have done. What did I do? What did I not do? There's no answers. You know, yeah. the nurse said there's no rhyme or reason. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't. We're going to look on our end and see what we can figure out. But I was devastated. Absolutely devastated.
I'm sure, because there's both. I mean, it's hard enough when it's your own baby and there's that loss, but then the pressure to want to deliver and be that solution for somebody else, that's a whole nother layer of obligation yeah. and pressure.
Yeah, and it was something I was so confident about. We just sure. felt so, of course this will work, you know. So it was sure. it was a good lesson. It was a good dose of humility for me, and getting to feel that those feelings that so many women have to go through of the loss and the devastation and the disappointment, you know, it was hard, but in retrospect, because, you know, and now that everything worked out great, it's a lot easier to tell this story sure. when you're in the thick of it. It's so awful, but I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful. Here, I thought the timing was perfect and I had it laid out. Well, it turns out God's in charge and he knows best and yeah. he knows what's better. And that's a hard thing to do, is to learn to bend your will to his, but he knows better. And we learned that. We definitely learned that.
Absolutely. And sometimes you do have to learn that the hard way and keep yeah. going, choose to keep going. And yeah. so at that point, were you thinking that's it, or were you determined to try again, or what was your mindset?
We were so determined. Like, I am like, come hell or high water, you are going to get a baby out of my body. Like, this is going to happen. And Kelsey and I both have just enough of competition in us, not against each other, but like, yes. what are we going to do now? We're going right. to figure out how to win, and we're going to make this work. And it was like, I'm ready to go back to the doctor the next day and say, what do we need to do? What am I going to do? And she and I would jump down the crazy rabbit hole of internet chat boards of people saying bizarre things that help them get pregnant, and I am suddenly like eating giant bowls of raw spinach and putting like crazy castor oil patches on my stomach for hours at a time to try to thicken my uterine lining. Like,
I will do anything.
We were just going crazy, and I look back now and think I'm so dumb, but really
no,
you're like, I am gonna make this work for you. What's it gonna take? I was taking all kinds of crazy supplements I can't even pronounce. And, you know, you just realize this, the desperation that people must feel, that they want this so badly. And we felt that. And how are we going to make this work? And I remember saying to the nurse, we had such great care at the clinic we were at. Our doctor was incredible, and the nurses just could not have been more wonderful. And I remember saying, am I crazy, to Natalie, the nurse? Am I crazy? Is this ever going to work? And she just said, it's going to work. It takes time, but if you're willing and put in the time and energy, if this will work. And just kind of gave us that confidence of, don't give up. It's going to take time. And the thing that was crazy, as soon as we had this failed retrieval, my body suddenly did not respond well to any medication. The doctor had said, your uterine lining needs to be at a certain thickness, and it just wouldn't get thick. I was going in every couple of weeks for a lining check, where they would check to see how thick the lining was. I was going back on the same medications that I'd been on before. Nothing.
Interesting.
It wasn't working. And so it was so frustrating. I'm sure Kelsey just wanted to pull her hair out. Like, what are you talking about? What has gone wrong? What did we do wrong? You know? And I was on all kinds of hormones, which doesn't help at all, that I'm taking extra hormone supplements to do these things. But it was our 20th wedding anniversary, and it was in December after Christmas. And at this point, I mean, this was August when this failed retrieval happened. I think we learned probably early September. And by this time, it's the end of December. It's after Christmas, and still just no success. Been going in every week, every couple of weeks, just no success with getting my body prepped again. And I was very hormonal and kind of crazy. And it was our 20th wedding anniversary. And I said to my husband, I need you just to take me away. It's like December 15th and our anniversary is the 29th. And he's like, well, I thought we could go on a nice road trip. And I'm like, no, you are taking me somewhere warm. And this poor man is like scrambling. And anyway, we end up on December 26th on a plane to Hawaii, which was the best thing that he ever did for me. This man loves me.
Yes.
So, it was very last minute, but it was very relaxing. We had a great getaway. And immediately after I got back from that trip, I went in and my lining had thickened to the point where it was looking good. And I just remember calling Kelsey and screaming, you know, it's thick. And she was happening to be, it was still over Christmas break. She was at her parents' house and she's screaming out to her family, you know. And so we just were just so exciting for these little tiny victories of thicker. So I give credit to my husband for taking me to Hawaii to thicken the lining of my uterus.
Oh my gosh. And these words and these conversations you just never thought you'd have out loud with anybody but your husband or doctors.
Ever. Yeah. Ever. You know, this whole world became so crazy.
Everybody's in your business. And one thing that Kelsey mentioned on the podcast was how supportive and wonderful your husband was throughout all of this. And especially after that first loss, how it was so hard and everyone was so down, but he called her saying, we're in this. We got this. Like, we are not giving up. Don't you worry about us. We're fine. Like, we'll be fine. And I will bolster her. And so let's talk more about that. How did this impact your marriage and how did you come to an agreement with all your kids and was everyone on the same page and how did that play into all these decisions about, well, now do we even do it again?
Right. Yeah. So after I had offered it to Clint, you know, after I talked to Kelsey at the funeral and suddenly Clint and I are needing to have kind of these more serious conversations, like, is this a good idea? Should I be doing this? And we decided the most important that this wasn't going to be just a decision that I made for me. Yes, it's my body, but because I'm the mother of these six children who count on me every day, if I were to get pregnant and maybe be sick or have, you know, these other things, this needed to be a family decision.
Yeah.
And so we had a family meeting where we brought everyone together and Clint and I presented it to the kids and said, we have an opportunity to help Robbie and Kelsey. This is what we would do. It would be their baby, but mom would be growing their baby for them and help them to have a baby. And my kids were jumping off the couch. They were so excited. They're like, Mom, you have to do it. That is so cool. You have to do it. Like, they could not have been more excited, from the oldest to the youngest. And I'm like, wait. I might be sick. I might, you know, I'm going to be pregnant. Is that embarrassing to you in high school to have your mom walking into the football game being 8 months pregnant?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, think about this, kids. And they're like, no, you have to do it. Like, overwhelming, like, cheers, like, this is so exciting, let's do this. And so that gave Clint and I both more confidence to move forward, knowing that the kids were genuinely really excited about the chance to do this for Robbie and Kelsey. And so I, as we kind of just started delving into a little bit more, doing a lot of praying, a lot of pondering about this and thinking about this, Clint happened to go out of town on business. And I got to a point where I started questioning myself and worrying, and it suddenly started feeling like, I don't know if this is right. I don't know if this is right to be doing this. This is crazy. I'm old. I've got this family. Yes, I want to help them, but to what extent? Like, maybe I'm not the right one. And I kind of started getting cold feet a little bit. And when he came back in town, when he'd been out of town, he had been praying about it and thinking about it and came back and was like, hey, I feel really good about this. And I'm like, I kind of feel weird about it now, you know, so we kind of had to get on the same page. But it kind of came to a head where we had this conversation that I'll never forget. And we're sitting across from each other. And I said, I just don't know. I don't know if it's the right thing. I don't know if I'm the right one. And he looked at me and held my hands and he said, this is your chance to do something amazing. This is amazing. And what did we come to Earth for? Why are we even here if you can't do something amazing? I think you should do it. And I just started falling. And from that second forward, we're like, okay.
We're doing this.
This is something amazing. It is. It's like the coolest thing ever. Why would I not want to be able to be a part of this? And with him on board and building me up like that was just huge and moving forward. So he was 110% on from there. And the funny thing is I actually did not know about the phone call that he gave Kelsey that she talked about until I listened to the podcast.
Oh, really?
I didn't know that even happened. Oh. So that was special for me to hear Kelsey say that and share about how she felt. Oh. I didn't know he'd made that phone call. It doesn't surprise me because I knew how he felt.
Yeah.
But that's the kind of man he is. He's a very sensitive and loving man, and we genuinely just love Robbie and Kelsey so much.
That's amazing. And so you went at it again. And
yeah.
What happened?
Yeah, well, it took a long time. Yeah. It took a long time. When I say, okay, I got to start that again, it took longer than we wanted it to. There are women that spend years and years and years doing this. I realize that. But for just having a positive experience where everything went really well to suddenly nothing was going right for 6 months, it was very frustrating. And it was trying, but it was also good for us. And the timing ended up being remarkable. When my lining finally started to thicken and everything started to look up like, I think we're going to do this, they print out a calendar for you. So they hand me a piece of paper that has the month of March on it, and it lists the 3 or 4 or 5 medications I'm supposed to take every day. So I hang that on my bathroom mirror, so every day I follow it. And as they hand it to me at the office, I look down, and there it is, March 29th is the day that would be the embryo transfer. And I about died. That's the day that Leo passed away. That's literally his exact day when he passed away. And here we are a year later. That's the day of the embryo transfer. Are you kidding me? Like, we don't get to schedule those things. That just is on the calendar based on the way my body is working and based on their office schedules and all of that. So those kind of little miracles make you go, okay, we are not in charge here. You know, this. I don't think these things are coincidences.
Absolutely so, not. Yeah, and this time, it worked.
It worked. So this time, Robbie and Kelsey did not fly out for it, but we did do FaceTime. So they could be, you know, in the room, but it just gets kind of crazy to keep flying back and forth. Boise is not the cheapest airport to fly in and out of from New York City. It's just tricky to get here. So, we did FaceTime, so they were able to be there. And I was so like overly crazy with the bed rest. Like, I did not get up for 2 full days. Like, we were taking no chances this time around. So,
yeah.
So the beginning of April, after a few days, I decided I wanted to take a home pregnancy test. I hadn't done it the first time. People had scared me out of doing it. Like, don't take a test. It won't be accurate. You'll just freak yourself out. So I didn't take a home pregnancy test with the first round, which I think in retrospect would have been helpful to prepare us that maybe it wasn't going to have, you know, going to work.
Hmm.
This time I'm like, I'm just taking a pregnancy test. So it was early on I think it was a Sunday morning, and I took a pregnancy test, and I waited a long time, but that line showed up. It was so faint, but it was there, and I was freaking out. And turns out Kelsey is on an airplane flying from New York City to San Francisco, which is a long flight. So she's on the plane for like 5 hours or whatever. So, and I'm dying because I know this result, but I can't tell her. But I'm texting Robbie the picture. I'm texting Kelsey the picture. So Kelsey's story is fun because she lands in San Francisco, turns on her phone, ding, and there's a picture of a positive pregnancy test, which is really exciting. So she called me from the bathroom at San Francisco airport, and we just cried together because it's just this feeling of, we've worked so hard, we want this so bad, and I'm just so thrilled that it worked, and I'm just as excited as she is. You know, we're just so excited this worked.
Absolutely. And so was this pregnancy, now that it took, any different than your other 6? Did it feel any different?
Oh, it was completely different.
Interesting.
I had a really horrible pregnancy this time. Whoa. Which, I shouldn't use the word horrible, but compared to my other very non-exciting pregnancies, this little sassy Nora is just a whole new bag of tricks.
So,
I was very morning sick, for the first few months. And then, just had a lot of other issues, nothing life threatening, nothing that ever threatened the baby, but just, I think my body is older and maybe just couldn't remember how to do this. I don't know. I ended up having a kidney stone in the middle of it. I ended up having some gallbladder issues. And just more eventful. But, you know, it was kind of fun. It was hard, and my husband was very patient. But never once did I say, oh, why did I say I'd do this? Like, it was still just fun and exciting to be doing it. And
right.
I knew that it was going to end, you know, and that I wouldn't have to keep the baby when it was over.
Right.
So it was a hard pregnancy, but it was good.
Yeah, amazing. And you had that. the ulterior motive that this is for somebody else. Like, I can do this. I can do this. And it's not going
to
be forever.
The other thing that goes along with that is that I ended up, like, going to the doctor or going into the ER more than I would have had it been my own baby, because I'm so paranoid now that I'm carrying this very precious cargo for someone else, that when weird things start happening, I'm like rushing into the doctor. Whereas if it had been my seventh pregnancy and my seventh child, I would have been like, oh, well, this will be fine. But there's kind of this, just kind of this weird thing where you're carrying someone else's child, and there's not for, I mean, we work so hard for this baby, and they've spent all this time and money, and they've lost a baby. Like, this baby has to happen.
Yes.
And I am not going to do anything to prevent this from happening. And if anything, like, the tiniest thing would happen, I'd be calling the doctor. Or, like, when I had the kidney stone, I would have just slugged it out at home. But I'm in the hospital, you know, going to the ER saying, check, make sure everything's fine. You know, you know that you have to really take care of this pregnancy.
Absolutely. And so let's just fast forward to delivery day. And they were there, and you were on the brink of handing over their miracle to them. Tell me about that, Betsy.
So one thing I ended up contracting is this really bizarre thing called cholestasis, where you're just crazy itchy. And so that was kind of bizarre. I'd never heard of it, didn't even know it existed. But, you know, once you start itching like a crazy person, you're like, something is wrong. So because of the cholestasis, it's connected to stillbirth after 36 weeks. And so because I had this condition, the doctor chose to induce me at 36 weeks, which is also a great blessing for me, because I was old, my body was tired, and this had been hard on my body. So delivering and not having to be pregnant for that last month, I was like, oh,
I'll do that. Yeah.
this will be fine. So I was not complaining, but I was very nervous that this baby would be small, or that they would have to spend some time in the NICU. I was so anxious to give them a really great birthing experience. Mm. Kelsey's previous two deliveries had been quite, like, horrifying, you know, and rushing her down, and doctors screaming, and nurses pulling, you know, and surgery, and just really the opposite of relaxing or wonderful at all. And so I was nervous going in, thinking I really wanted them to have this really great, calm birth experience, which I knew it would be calm. I was being induced, you know, but I didn't want the baby to be so small that they had to go back to the NICU and relive some of those memories or whatever. So I was nervous going in about that. So the day we chose for the induction, we kind of had to pick a date right about 36 weeks where they could be in town, or where my husband could have the day off and all of that, was November 21st, which happened to be my son's eighth birthday.
Aww.
So it was eight years to the day that I had last had a baby, which was kind of cool. And we'd asked my son, you know, when this came up, I said to my son, Max, who was turning eight, I said, this will be your birthday. Are you okay if I'm spending your birthday at the hospital? You know, I won't be home that day, and I won't be with you. We can celebrate before, we can celebrate after. And he was so excited at the thought of getting to share his birthday with his special cousin. So that was a really sweet thing to see how excited he was about that, and him kind of sacrificing having a normal day of a birthday. So that was very sweet. And I got to see a lot of moments like that in my children where they kind of had to sacrifice things, but they were thrilled to do it because they all understood how exciting this event was for our family and for Robbie and Kelsey's family. So one thing I'm grateful for, I had a doctor who had delivered my last four babies since we lived in this town. I had the same doctor, and I really enjoyed him. The deliveries were great. It was just very calm. He's a good doctor fit for my personality. So I was anxious with Kelsey when they first, we had to fill out a lot of paperwork and contract, and the clinic really want you to go to kind of one of the bigger, fancier downtown hospitals to do this. And I said to Kelsey, I really would still like to see my doctor. We live in a suburb of Boise, so I'm going to more of a local hospital for me that's not maybe as high tech as some of the other big downtown hospitals. And I said, I still would really like to deliver here with my doctor if you're okay with that. So I was grateful that she was okay with that, and ended up being the best decision we could have made. The first time I went in to see my doctor to say, hey, I need you to kind of check me out, tell me if I could still have a baby, you know, can you tell me if I'm in fit to do this, you know? And I remember him telling me, oh, I've done this kind of delivery before, surrogates. He said, it's great because I just let the mom, the real mother, deliver the baby. And so he said, yeah, Kelsey will just deliver the baby. And I remember thinking, oh, wouldn't that be so cool? Aww. So when we got to the hospital that day, we were scheduled for an induction at 7 in the morning to be at the hospital. And so Robbie and Kelsey had flown in and they were here. Kelsey had been wonderful and been on her feet all day the day before making food for my daughters who had a dance that night. And we had all the teenagers over for dinner on the Saturday night, and Kelsey using her talents to bless me and me trying to bless her in return. So, and we had my, her family had come to town. Her parents were there and her sister and her brother had come. My dad had flown in to be here to support us as well. So it was fun to kind of have family here. So the four of us, Robbie and Kelsey and my husband and I, got up early, went to the hospital, and I was able to get an epidural and get the medication to induce me. And it was just really this kind of calm and relaxing day of us just kind of hanging out at the hospital. I have my two teenage daughters. I invited them if they would be interested to come in and see, and they were thrilled and super excited to come to be a part of this, which was really exciting for me and for them to share in this. And so they got to come and be here with us. And Kelsey's mom and her sister's a photographer, so she was able to take some absolutely breathtaking photos of the whole experience.
Yes.
So it was kind of a crowd in there, but I didn't mind. I know originally Robbie was like, I do not think I want to be in the room when you're delivering a baby. Like, that is so weird. I'm like, absolutely, you have to be there. I don't care where you stand, but you have to be there. This is your child. So there's kind of those weird brother-sister things that you have to work out and just get past. But the nurse that was working with us had been through infertility and had done similar things that we had done, and so was very both of the nurses, I think, that we worked with. So everyone was kind of aware of the situation and they just treated us royally.
Aww.
So the doctor came in, and instead of him gloving up and gowning up, he put the gown on Kelsey and gloved her up. And he, you know, had some gloves on, obviously, but stood to the side and had Kelsey kind of right there at the ready to get the baby. And Robbie was able to stand by her. And my husband was there holding my hand, and I think Robbie was actually holding a hand too. And it was just the most beautiful experience. I had the best seat in the house of getting to watch Kelsey deliver her daughter into her arms. And it was just a beautiful experience for me. It was such a payday. It was everything I had hoped for. I remember telling Kelsey from the very beginning, I am doing this because I selfishly want to see you hold that baby in your arms. I want that. And so for this experience, for me, to see her was so tender, to see the expression on her face of excitement, of awe, of joy, of absolute love for this sweet baby girl. And we were just sobbing. The whole room was crying. My teenage daughters were bawling. Robbie's crying. Kelsey's crying. Her mom. The nurses are crying. The doctor's teasing the nurse, like, you've got to get it together. She's like, oh, no. We're sobbing. I mean, it was just such a beautiful, beautiful experience. I was thrilled when they weighed her, and she was 7 pounds.
Oh, good job.
I was thrilled because I was so nervous she was going to be tiny. So for 36 weeks and 7 pounds, I'm like, oh, I'm so glad. I'm glad I didn't go to 40 weeks. You know, how big would she have been?
Right.
But anyway, it was just an absolutely incredible, probably one of the most amazing experiences of my life to deliver that baby. Just, I wish, I'm not great with words. I wish I were to have some way, fancy way to say how special it was, but the spirit that was there and the emotions that were there and the just how special this baby was to all of us was just incredible, incredible experience.
Oh, I love that so much. And Kelsey expresses her side of it so beautifully on the podcast. And now, several months later, talking about just the little day-to-day, like she'll look at Nora and be like, does Betsy even realize how grateful I am to be holding this baby? And does she, like, it's just like the moments of seeing her pick up a toy and eat and crawl, you know, all those little milestones. It's like, it's because of you, Betsy.
Yeah.
Do you feel that weight and that gift?
You know, I think the miracle of this whole experience, and I think what will surprise people the most, is how unattached I am to Nora. And I don't mean that in a negative way.
Sure.
I don't mean that like I don't love her.
It's not like your daughter.
But she is so Kelsey's baby.
Wow.
That it never, I think the question I got asked the very most when people would find out, well, here I am, my youngest is 8 years old and I show up, you know, the first day of school. So I end up getting pregnant in May.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of, I remember taking like my elementary kids to school the first day, and by the time I show up, I'm visibly pregnant. And people are looking at me going, what? And I'm having to say, I'm pregnant, but it's not mine. Right. It's my brother's. You know, I mean, how do you bring this up? It's so awkward. So So when I would explain, oh, I'm carrying a baby for my brother and his wife who can't carry a baby for themselves. So this is their baby, which you always have to make sure people get kind of confused thinking that it's my brother and I's baby, which it's not.
It's
I'm just the oven cooking this baby. So I would explain, no, this is their baby and I'm just being the carrier. And people would always say, oh, how are you going to give that baby up? How are you going to be able to give that baby up? That's what I think without fail. Every person I told the story to asked me that question. Mm. Are you going to be able to give this baby up? Mm. And I remember the first time I was asked that question, I was kind of shocked. Like, well, yeah, it's not my baby. It's like babysitting. When the mom comes to get the baby, you don't think, well, I have claim on this baby now. It's part mine. It's not mine. It's never been mine. And we worked so hard to get her here for them that it never even crossed my mind. But as I got further into my pregnancy, I thought, what if weird hormones kick in? And when I'm delivering, I'm going to want a baby suddenly. Like, what if that happens? Because every time I've delivered a baby, I've kept it and it's been mine, you know?
And so, you've loved it. Right.
Yes. Yeah, so what if I go into delivery and I suddenly want? So I was a little bit nervous of that, but in my gut, it's not my baby. So, you know, it was never an issue. So I think the thing that will surprise most people is how much I love Nora, but I love her as much as I love any of my other nieces or nephews, which is a lot. I adore my nieces and nephews. Like Ollie, I could just eat him right up. And I feel like he's part mine too. I just love him. And I feel the same way about Nora. But from the minute she was born, she was Kelsey's. And I will say, kind of as a comedy, that we were thrilled that she looked like Robbie and Kelsey. Yeah. I was like, I kept being paranoid. What if she comes out looking like me? What if she comes out looking like Clint and I? And secretly our baby, or, you know, which there's no chance of that happening. Right. But, you know, you always think, oh, no, you know, I hope this works out. But she is the spitting image of Ollie and Leo. Like, it's unbelievable how much she looks like them and how much she looks like her parents. And so that was thrilling when she was born to have her look just like them and just be their baby. And, you know, I didn't even feel the need to hold her. Like, it's just miraculous. Mm. It's absolutely miraculous to me how much I didn't need that. I was nervous I would, but it was a miracle. It was their baby. I think after they got her all cleaned up and Robbie and Kelsey had doted on her, I mean, they came and put her in my arms and I got to look at her and hold her, but there was no sense of attachment for me as far as I need this or I want this or this is mine. That was never there, which to me is a miracle.
That is such a miracle, because you think of these moms that give their babies up for adoption and, you know, there is that kind of tension between that bonding experience when the baby comes out. And so that really truly is miraculous that there was that separation.
Because it's their baby, whereas this was never my baby. You know, she had none of my DNA. She had some of my blood flowing through her to grow her. But once she's born, it's their baby, you know. So that it was absolutely miraculous to me. And I still feel that way. So when I see Nora, I'm like, oh, do I not just love her? She is literally the cutest baby. And it makes my heart so happy. But there's nowhere in me that thinks she should be mine, or that was once mine, or, you know, people will say, oh, you're going to have such a special bond with her forever. And I think, I might, but there really is nothing there that attaches me to her more so than Oliver or some of my other nieces and nephews who I adore.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
No, I understand what you're saying. I agree that it's hard to express, but I understand. Yeah. That's fascinating. Yeah. And so having gone through the experience, you've had 6 kids of your own. Now you've had this 7th pregnancy for Robbie and Kelsey. What has this season and this experience taught you about life? Does your life look any different now? And kind of how do you view things any differently if you do?
Yeah, I think that I'm really grateful for the experience. There was a lot. It was kind of a refiner's fire for a little bit with, you know, being humbled that it didn't work and learning patience through it working, really learning about what sacrifice is. And I really had the opportunity to really sacrifice. It was hard, but I'm grateful for that. And they were so appreciative. I can't say enough about how much they loved me and doted on me and would check up on me and call me. I mean, both of them, but especially my brother, being his sister, he was just so concerned about me and they would call constantly. I'm so sorry that you're itching, or what can we do? Or, you know, just absolutely were so wonderful to me. I can't say enough about how much love and support we felt from them. Mm. But, you know, I learned a lot of really good lessons. It was it was a hard thing to do. I tell Kelsey I would do it again in a heartbeat, but I won't. But I would do it again if I had to, but I'm not going to do it again. But, you know, it was kind of a one and done for us there.
Sure.
But it, because I am getting older and because it was hard, but it was such a beautiful experience. I think my children, I'm grateful for that example that they got to see of sacrifice, and they got to feel that, and they got to experience love for other people, and that we can do hard things to bless other people's lives.
Mm. Yeah, it really was a whole family effort. You all gave up things in your own way and sacrificed in your own way to bring this to pass. And, and it was a team effort.
Yeah.
I love that. When I interviewed Kelsey, I asked her what she would tell you, and she had the sweetest words to share with you. What do you want to tell Kelsey?
Oh, I think I would want to say thank you. Thank you for trusting me to do this. I mean, that's a hard thing to, it's hard enough for her that she can't carry a baby, but to have to watch someone carry your own baby, that's got to be kind of hard.
Mm.
Because she would have done that. She would have given anything to have carried another baby. So thank you for trusting me and loving me enough to give me the opportunity to do that. It was very special. I think she and I grew so close together. We were in literally constant communication all the time because this was very much a team effort. And it was so fun to grow our relationship like that. We always really liked each other, but this brings things to a new level.
Yeah, especially when she delivers your baby. Yeah.
Things about your body that you never thought you'd talk about with anyone, but you do. And it was just, it was an amazing experience. And I just have so much love, respect, admiration for Kelsey and the mom that she is. And her, I have never met anyone like her. She's so determined and goal-oriented and driven. And when that girl wants something, she works her tail off to get it. And she inspired me to do the same thing. And it was just a really fantastic experience. I've learned so much from her, and I've grown so much from watching her. And I'm just so grateful. I am so grateful that I got to be a part of this experience. Just like my husband said, this is something awesome and incredible. And it was amazing. It was fantastic.
I think what I love so much about what you just said is that you are thankful for the gift you were able to give her. And I think that's just such a great life lesson, that so many times the giver is as much filled up and gratified and feels that love and feels that appreciation as the recipient of a gift. And
oh,
I think that's
absolutely.
True in any
just
scale.
Being in that delivery room, being there is something I will always be grateful for. Mm. And getting to be the one that delivered was great, but
sure.
Just getting to be part of that experience was just so filling and incredible.
Oh, I love that. You are extraordinary. I mean, not only do you have your own 6 kids, but to do this and then to be willing to share it too. I mean, this is a pretty vulnerable personal experience. And I know that the people listening are so grateful for your vulnerability in sharing, because I've learned so much throughout all this. And for anybody that I know down the road that might go through something similar, I'll have such a greater understanding of kind of what they're going through and maybe how to be there for them and things like that. I just think it's so important to share these stories. So Betsy, you're extraordinary.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. You don't feel like it. You just
I
do
know.
Your day-to-day things, and that's how it goes. But you look back and go, wow, that was awesome.
Look what
that
I
was
did.
Great. Yeah,
I love
great.
That. Well, I always ask my guests one final question, Betsy, and it's this. What would you tell your pre-motherhood self?
I think I would just want to tell myself, just enjoy it. Mm. You know, I think we get caught up in the day-to-day, you know, my baby's not sleeping, and they're never going to potty train, and they're never, you know, and you get so stressed about these little things. But really, now that I'm at this point in my life where I am, where I'm starting to see my little birds leave the nest, you know, and I look back and think, oh, just enjoy it. Just love on those babies and watch them grow. And yes, it's hard, and that's the point. You're supposed to learn, and we all, you know, are growing and learning and changing through the experiences we have within our families. But just really to take time to just enjoy and love being a mom. It's the greatest gift in the whole world. It's everything I ever wanted to be. I had a mom who all she ever wanted to be was a mom. And so as I was growing up, that was all I ever wanted to be. And it was such a beautiful way to be raised.
Mm.
And have sisters who are such good examples of mothers to me. And it made it so that the motherhood just came something I wanted to do and I looked forward to doing. But if I could look back and say anything, I would definitely say, just enjoy it.
I love that. Betsy, you are an extraordinary mom, and I know that everyone's going to be so glad to hear your side of the story. Thank you for sharing. Thanks for taking the time to share this. I hope it felt good to talk about it, because this is a neat experience.
Yeah, it was. Thanks so much.
Have a great day.
You too.
Isn't that such an incredible story? I hope you enjoyed hearing Betsy's side of the story. And like I said, you can go back and listen to Kelsey's episodes on episode number 43 and 136 of the podcast. And this is episode 156. So thanks for tuning in today. You can find pictures of Betsy and her sweet family on our website at extraordinarymomspodcast.com. You can follow me on Instagram at JessicaDahlquist3 or on Facebook at Extraordinary Moms Podcast. Coming up this Friday, we have a revisit episode with one of your favorite past guests, and we'll announce who that is this Friday, and I hope you'll tune in for that. Make sure you're subscribed to the podcast, because that means every time a new episode comes out, it will automatically be uploaded to your unplayed list on your iTunes app, or if you listen on Stitcher, same thing, you're able to never miss an episode. If you're new around here, I welcome you. I hope that you enjoyed this episode, and if you did, there are so many other amazing interviews with other extraordinary moms who live all different versions of extraordinary in their own lives. So thanks for being here today, and we'll see you next week for another episode with another extraordinary mom. Bye.